Rob, and I write a lot of the new material that's been coming out. So,
my name is Dwid, and I do vocals and the mixing and the artwork for the records.
It seems like you know, this show you guys are doing. I don't know if you heard about this, but they had to cut the RSVP list off at like 1,500 people. They can only fit like 450 in the club. It's a big deal. You guys are doing this. Do you feel like Integrity has kind of taken on a life of its own in recent years?
Well, I think that Integrity started out as sort of a terrorist reaction to society. I mean, I grew up, and I was born in the 70s, and in the 80s, I became a teenager, and to like the kind of music that I liked was kind of like putting a target on your head. It sounds crazy now, probably, but back then, if you were to wear a Samhain shirt or a Misfit shirt, that automatically meant that in school you were fighting people every day. Just because of the bands you liked. It made no sense, you know. And it wasn't that we were doing it against. It's sort of like Columbine type thing, you know, for us. Stuff like now, you know, you have CNN and ESPN has skateboarding and they're playing, you know, sort of a punk rock or a metal music in there. But back in the 80s, if you liked that kind of stuff, you were really like, you had to fight for it. And that's sort of where I came from that world. And the music reflects that attitude and that feeling of that time, which, you know, and probably for the better, doesn't really exist now for young people. But, I mean, initially, it was just that I wanted to be creative and express myself with art and music, and you know, it was met with a lot of adversity, and because of that, you know, also violence. So it was a reaction to that. That's why the music started, I guess, you know, based off of that.
And you started in '88, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, are you kind of surprised to see where it's at today with the kind of reaction you're getting with this show? And I realize, you know, maybe talk about a little bit how Integrity shows have kind of become an event now at this point. It's not like you guys are
right,
playing
yeah.
regularly. So, I mean, are you kind of overwhelmed by the reaction here, or is that not on the radar?
Well, we don't really think about, the band in those terms as far as popularity or attendance is concerned, but we pretty much just do it for ourselves.
Yeah,
we're selfish people.
Yeah.
But we do it for ourselves. We're entertaining ourselves. We're making the music that we would like to hear that we don't feel is out there now. And because of that, we taught ourselves how to record on our own, to mix on our own, to master on our own, and also the artwork stuff with, you know, computers and everything. And we got it down for us, for what we like, to a good formula. That
total freedom creatively, really, when
yeah.
you're doing it yourself like that. So,
and that's where our interest is. It's not so much in the amount of audience or, you know, or lack of.
It's personal expression more so than
yeah
acceptance.
Yeah,
so
I've seen other interviews that you've done where you, I think I read a quote where you said that you felt that the audience was almost eavesdropping on your private entertainment.
Yeah,
you said, which I thought was really interesting. I mean, yeah. that kind of. Is it possible for you, I mean, like, is it possible when you're on stage playing in front of all these kids like you're going to do this afternoon to really separate yourself from what's happening in front of you?
And well, you know, that there's a little bit of a misunderstanding in that, is that it isn't that we're distancing ourselves from the audience as much as, you know, I think that most of the people that are going to the concerts are people who are relating to what we have to say, and they're taking away something, and hopefully something that's going to benefit them or inspire them to do something on their own like that. And that's, you know, when we say that people are eavesdropping on our process, that's more or less talking about how or why we're making the music and why we're making this stuff. It's just for us. But other people are in on it, you know, friends, and we're making it also, I guess, to entertain our friends too. But we don't see it as like, you know, trying to win fans or something like that. It isn't really interesting to us. So,
I want to get back to the terrorism thing a little bit.
We've been using the term holy terror since the beginning of the 90s, before some of the events in America happened and everything, and it's unrelated to that, really. In fact, on a polar opposite level, the American government and the military use our albums in Afghanistan as a weapon. And that's mixed feelings for me, personally, but it's very strange. And they actually asked me to make more music for them to use. And, you know, that's not really... I didn't want to align myself with that politic, so I declined. But they are using some of our albums as weapons.
Well, that's interesting because you have that your side project, Side Warfare.
Which yeah, and the weirdest part of it is it sort of comes full circle because I made that song and that side project. We have a song called also Psychological Warfare, and I made the Psychological Warfare thing came from Waco, Texas. That whole stuff that went down there. They were doing Psy Warfare, sonic attack on the compound at the time, and I was impressed by it. And I watched it every day, like some people watch sitcoms or these reality shows or whatever. And I was really following it, and I was really interested in how it was going down, why it was going down, and how they were using sound to attack these people. And I ended up calling up the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and I said, well, you know, I know how to do this kind of thing a little bit better. Not like Nick Fiction, but I know how to do it. I knew how to do it. And I heard, like, this is, you know, in the 90s, so I heard this sort of click on the phone, and there was a long pause, and I thought, oh, I'm probably needing to hang up the phone now. So I didn't follow it any further, but I was interested in doing it at that time. The fact that they're using the sound as a weapon in their war is strange, and I'm sort of without opinion on it. But I think that it's interesting.
On some level, it must be... do you feel like you've done something, even though maybe you don't agree with how it's being used?
I feel like using the music as a weapon is exactly why we created this music, but at the same time, it's sort of one of those things, be careful what you wish for, you know.
But it must be an interesting validation, too. It's like, yes. You've achieved what you
yes, want. It's a very interesting validation of our music, that they're using it as a weapon.
Yeah, yeah. That's incredible.
And they gave us kill numbers daily on it and things like that, and I don't know if it's a division, I don't know how to describe it, but yeah, it's like, you know.
Did you tell you which albums were being used?
Yeah. Humanity's the Devil.
Yeah,
and he explained that Humanity's the Devil is it's being used as a weapon over there, and that it's very effective. So
wow, yeah. That's incredible. You guys, I recently put a lot of your back catalog up on the internet for free.
It's been up for a long... Our back catalog has been up for free download on the internet for a few years.
5 years, probably.
Yeah, since I had a server.
Yeah.
Once I bought a server, I put it up for download.
Why did you decide to do that?
Well, a couple reasons. I think that... The easiest way to say it is that, again, back to my childhood, I had, you know, an allowance as a kid, whatever, not a lot of money. I would save up my pennies to buy records. And I would only be able to afford one record a month, maybe two. I would buy them pretty much solely based off of the album artwork, particularly if it was Pusshead drawing it, you know. And pretty much if Pusshead was drawing it, you knew that you were safe. You know, that was like one of those things. And sometimes, you know, I would buy records that I wasn't into, and I would be stuck with those records, and I'd have to listen to them, and I'd be disappointed. This was before you could download stuff. This is before the internet really existed in a way that the citizens could use it. And I think that giving the music to people now you know, we're sharing art, what we make. And if they're interested in it, that's great, you know. And I sort of want people to, I don't want people necessarily to buy the records. I want them to just listen to it, and if they don't like it, then they can delete it. It doesn't matter to me, you know. But I'd rather do it that way than have to be a part of a deception where people would buy it based off of a lie or a misrepresentation of what we're about, which has been a misrepresentation of what we're about is something that's been a constant for this band. Even from the name, I mean, if you look at the name, you wouldn't probably think it sounds the way that it sounds and this kind of thing. So it's some contradiction and some misrepresentation, I guess. I don't know. I just think that I sort of think when we make this stuff sometimes, like, I'm making this music for me at 15 years old, 16 years old, and that's my audience. Personally, that's where I'm directing myself when I'm writing something. That's where I hold my standards at. Me at 16 or 15 or 13, somewhere in that ballpark. The kid that was alienated and singled out by society because of wanting to be creative. And so that's sort of where I'm at. And there's probably people out there who can relate to it, and I hope that they aren't in the same situation that I was in. But yeah, I guess it's like that. That's why we offer the free songs. And we even give the new songs.
Yeah, too. Everything.
You mentioned misrepresentation. It seems like there's been a lot of, not only misrepresentation, but maybe misunderstanding of integrity and what you're trying
well,
to
do. Well, both. There's been both misunderstanding and misrepresentation of us. You know, record companies misrepresenting us.
Yeah. I mean, can you maybe talk a little bit about why it is that you do what you do and maybe kind of give a little insight into the philosophy behind integrity? You know, maybe we can clear out some of the misrepresentations.
Tall order.
Let's see. Well, the reason that I don't really know the reason why I make this music. I don't really know what is driving me now, what was driving me then, except for the fact that I just wanted to create something to entertain myself, I guess. I wanted to make, you know, I listen to a lot of music and I listen to, I'm interested in a lot of different things. And oftentimes I find myself a little bit unsatisfied with what is available to me. And so I want to make something that's more tailored to my own interests. And that's why we do it. I mean, ultimately, if no one was listening to it and it was just us, that would also be fine.
Yeah, it'd still be happening.
There are a lot of songs that we make that no one hears that we just make for ourselves. We've made bands where we don't say it's us and release them, and we don't care. We do it because we like it, and that's all. And we entertain ourselves. We don't care.
Does how you feel about integrity, has it changed since? Do you feel differently about the band now than you did, say, in '88 when you started? Does it mean something different to you?
The band now has, because of technology, the band now is a little more freer than it was back in 1988 when we started. We were not able, in 1988, I mean, we could record on a 4-track, but the quality would be very poor and it wouldn't be anything that we could be proud to share with people. All that stuff's on the internet, I guess, but now we have technologically advanced, I guess, and we're able to do exactly what we want. And one of the things that Rob and I also wanted to achieve by recording our own stuff at our homes was we both feel that, you know when you're listening to any classic record, there's always a big thing on the back or the front, produced by this guy. And that guy, he's outside of the band, but he is a member of the band on that record. He's an important element of that record, you know. And we felt that a lot of times when you go to a recording studio, the person there, if they were not aware of what you wanted, or they weren't even aware of that kind of genre of music, they would contaminate your creativity. They would put their poison in your well, and then that would affect the outcome, and we wanted to totally control it. We wanted to make whatever we did. You know, there were records that we made in the early days, but we turned them into the label, and the label said to us that they were authorities on our music and what was supposed to be coming out of it, which they went against us and had the engineer redo our songs to make them weaker. Systems Overload is an album like that. Systems Overload was an album that Aaron Melnick and I wrote, and Aaron and I both at the time wanted it to be a lot more extreme than it ended up. I mean, I don't know how it's perceived, but it should have been a lot more distorted and more extreme than it was, and the record label at the time was wanting to control it and make it a little more friendly for the ears for people, and we didn't want that, and so they went behind our back and had that done against our wishes, and that was a rape of our creativity, I think. But that record label's notorious for that. So
yeah, man, I've heard so many stories from
they're
so
all
many
true
fans about them. Yeah, I'm sure. Robert, from I'm curious to your perspective as someone coming from a fan and out being outside the band and now being very much an insider, what's your perspective on how Integrity has changed over the years, and especially now with your involvement?
I would say my perspective on Integrity hasn't really changed much, because it was something that I listened to, because like Dwid was saying about his disassociation from society just through wanting to be creative. And I could feel that same sort of fire. And reading through the lyrics or looking at the artwork or listening to the way things were played or, you know, anything really regarding the band, I connected with it. And then I kind of, you have your own interpretation. Everybody takes their own interpretation of what they want a song to be or what they want. That's sort of like the magic behind the band. And to have my interpretation of it or my attitude that I felt come from those records, and then to meet Dwid and to have that be true, and like on the same level, was absolutely astounding, because that, how does that happen, you know? So I would say that my perspective was basically dead on, and now it's just kind of like it's an enjoyment, because I'm along for the ride, and I'm also able to create in that same sort of vein that I grew up listening to. So it's very, very rewarding in that sense. So
I mean, would it be fair to say that that's why the relationship, the musical and personal, with you guys, because you were able to successfully communicate to him through your music initially, and he understood it in a way that you at least partially or mostly intended?
Yeah, I think that when I met Rob, Rob was the perfect demographic for Integrity, the me at a younger age kind of thing. And yeah, I don't want to put that burden on him, but you know, that's I think why we connected so well, and we also were interested in the same music and some of the other things that we like creatively, and we're still, you know, best friends, and we don't really argue, and we help each other out and make sure that, you know, if I find out something that's new technology, I'm quick to tell him, and he's quick to tell me, and we learn things.
We would master it and then tell each other how to do it. Yeah, like in that sense.
So yeah, we have a lot of personal success in what we're doing musically and creatively, and to me that's invaluable. It doesn't matter how many people are at our concerts or how many people are buying or downloading our songs. It's that we're making the music that we want to hear, and we're able to do it too. That's a strange thing. And he said earlier in the interview, GarageBand, and probably a lot of people don't know what that is, but it's a more or less a toy that comes with a Mac computer. And it's not at all, I think that ultimately probably their creative department thought, you know, maybe one day this is gonna be something people would really use, but actually we really do use it. I think that generally it's for kids to do like really bad rap music or something on it, you know? And when I got it, I'm like, yeah, that's pretty silly stuff. And then I thought, well, you know, maybe I could try this and maybe it would work out. And we figured out a way to use this free program to make all of our records. We've been making them for years on this free software that's, they probably would discontinue the application if they knew,
that we were using
it. No, I use it too, man. The M-Box, man.
It's
it's astounding.
Yeah.
Can you maybe talk a little bit about moving to Belgium, why you decided to do that, and then what effect it's had on Integrity?
Well, I think moving to Belgium hasn't really had much effect on Integrity, except for the fact that it would be less common for us to perform, but we never really performed often anyway, so we just more or less are more selective nowadays, and we play less and less shows because there's no point in it for us. Again, we're marketing our music to two people, and those two people are already sold on it, so we don't really have too much of an agenda.
No audience to win there.
We don't have to make any ads for ourselves to be into what we're making. So I moved to Belgium because it's actually kind of a strange thing. I moved to Belgium. As a kid, I was always interested in Flemish art, and that's something from this area. Bosch and Bruegel and Van Eyck and all these guys. And that was something I found. I connected with that. And I liked the way that the city that I live in looks. I like the way that if I walk into town, I can see a castle here, and I can, you know, it just something is creative to me, or something is calling to me, or something is feeding back into me when I'm just walking down the street, and I can feel something about charging me a little bit, and I like that, and my wife is Belgian as well, so that's another reason why I live there. But she's stubborn and won't live anywhere else. Although she's sort of tempted to move to Japan, which is something that we've all talked about doing, we would like to do.
Really, all you guys move to Japan?
Well, it doesn't have to be all of us.
Yeah.
Still work.
Yeah. 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 I remember reading somewhere you were talking about how you really like the sense of isolation that you have in Belgium.
That's true.
I imagine that must be helpful with the creative process.
Yeah, the sense of isolation in Belgium is a priceless thing for me. I'm able to not be distracted. Part of the problem with when I was living in Cleveland is that I became too much of a social butterfly for my own good in that city, and people were catering to that, and I was not as creative or as prolific as I am now based off of that. I mean, it was out all night doing, Sunset Strip kind of version of Cleveland, you know, like Motley Crue kind of thing. So that was fun, but I was also not having the amount of creativity that I was feeling that I needed to do, and I don't know why I feel that I need to do it, and I don't know what's driving me behind this, except for, I guess, maybe we're obsessed with it or something now at this point. I don't really know why we keep doing it, but we always have something that we're working on, always. And like, our computers have like several songs that are either unfinished or we're working on, and I guess it gives us something to live for. Something to look forward to.
And a desire to create really can push you to exist in a way, so.
And maybe the isolation thing, too, is like that we've created our own world that we live in, that we don't have to live in this world as much. And when we're doing that, we feel a little more in control or free.
Do you feel that way, too, or what's your kind of living situation in Pittsburgh?
My living situation is isolation. I don't really associate myself with a lot of people. I'm very private in that sense, and I feel that inspires me to create because I don't like outside interference or anything like that. So I'm a very seclusive person. So,
but he's moving out here.
Yeah, moving to California soon.
There you are.
So, yeah.
What inspired that?
Try to put a spin on that in a way that I can talk about it.
We can skip the questions.
Okay, let's skip the questions.
Okay, all right. as talking to you guys and seeing your kind of working relationship and how you guys are similar in so many ways, but, you know, living so far apart and yet making the band work.
But to see us in our real element, we must both have MacBooks.
Yeah.
The pure form.
But what's kind of striking me is that you guys are making this work, and you know, I think from an outsider's perspective, you'd say, how are they doing this, you know? But the flip side of that is you have these bands, they all live in the same city, they're living on top of each other, they tour all the time, and my bands break up, right? It's like too much time together. I mean, it occurs to me that this is maybe working, because when you guys see each other, it's so rare. You're happy to see each other, you want to hang out, there's none of that, like, oh, sick of this dude. Like, does that make sense?
No, I don't really get sick of Rob. We talk every day. I talk with Rob more than I talk with anyone. Maybe even my wife. I think she's not happy about that. And, you know, again, with technology, we have these phones that have all these apps for chatting and everything. And, I mean, we can actually even record music on our phones now. There's this thing called iRig that we plug in there. We can plug our guitars in there. We can drag in drums that he recorded on the other thing, and we can do the vocals on the thing.
We've been experimenting with it, and we're getting it pretty dialed in. Yeah.
For what we want to do, so that's pretty weird, I think, you know, to be able to do that.
It's like a constant connection, you know, in that sense, because it's like, oh, I did this today, I was inspired to do this, and then it'll come back a couple hours later.
We inspire each other. Yeah. We have, this is something that I discovered, this thing, let's try it, you should get it too.
And yeah,
we order stuff for them. Each other on eBay or whatever, and then send each other technology.
So it's the desire.
But if we lived in the same house, I don't think we would be fighting. We've never really except when we first met, we hated each other.
Yeah, we did hate each other.
But that's how it works.
Really? Okay, talk about that a little bit.
We just had a clash of that we were too identical.
Where did you meet? And when?
We met in a
chat room. No, I didn't.
We met in a lonely chat room.
Yeah.
It
was kind of like this. It was like,
here's the truth: is this that I'm not a trusting person, and I thought that he was out to deceive me, and so I was skeptical, and I was, that's just my nature, is to chase
someone
off.
That's likewise, though,
because I like that. And so he was doing the same, and eventually something happened where it clicked, and then we just haven't fought since then.
Yeah.
For years. So.
Wow.
Pretty good track record.
Yeah. So, I mean, I hear you guys talking about making music for yourselves, and, you know, kind of that you guys are the demographic, and that's all that matters, and you don't really, it sounds like you're not really interested in playing shows that much. Why?
Well, we enjoy playing
shows. Yeah, we do enjoy playing shows. Okay. Yeah.
We enjoy playing the shows. We enjoy the live aspect of our band and the interaction with the people, because, again, you know, it's not necessarily fair to say that our demographic is just us, but again, it's, you know, for me, from my point of view, it's people like me when I was younger, and I guess people like me now, but I don't know how many 40-year-old guys are going to our shows, but maybe there's some, you know, sometimes there are, but it's not that, we enjoy the live setting. We just don't have a lot of time to do it, and we don't want to go on tour, because it's sort of my point of view on touring is, my opinion on touring is that it's a commercial, that we're promoting our record, and we're, please buy our record, we're on tour, and we don't care about that so much, because we don't really have any expenses in our recording. We don't have any, it doesn't cost us anything to make these records at all. We don't even need to make records. We could just put it only on the internet, and we wouldn't lose a thing. We'd lose some time.
Yeah.
But the time would be spent on ourselves anyways, so it doesn't matter.
So I'm asking each of you separately, what do you get out of the live experience?
Who's first?
Whoever wants to go. Whoever feels has an answer at the front of their brain, ready to go.
I say for me, playing live is it's a release in a way, because it's a way to attack things that it gives it more of a face in a way, because you can listen to it and you can listen to music, but whenever you see it live, it's a totally different experience, because it's like an assault, basically. So whenever I play live, it's for me, it's It's an enjoyment, because I do the records myself with Dwid, so whenever we get to play these songs live, it's like an actual group playing the song, so it's very, it's fun to play in that aspect, you know what I mean? And then whenever there's a reaction to it, it's interesting to see how it makes people behave, or what it causes people to do in that sense. So it's like a, it's rewarding in that sense, because you can see a immediate reaction, or, and also too, with the, just the shit that I go through every day, just to get by, to be able to just explode, you know, for half hour, an hour, whatever it is, it's hard to put a word on it, really, because it's just a...
It's releasing.
Yeah, it's like a release. All the tension just goes for that time, and there's nothing else that you're focusing on except for what you're doing, and that's...
We're deeply troubled. We need therapy. This is our therapy.
It's self-therapy, yeah.
Yeah, it's a, you know, it's a physical manifestation of the music when we play live, so we're able to become the music instead of just only listening to it. When we make it, it's not as organic as it would have been if we made the music 20 years ago for us, because of the technology and the technique that we're using now. So when we do it live, it's sort of us celebrating what we've made and exercising whatever demons are intertwined in that song, that particular song. And like that, I guess, is the reason why we play live.
What is inspiring you lyrically lately? What's driving you to write?
Well, I've always been lyrically inspired by myself, by things that I see, the way that I see them, things that I wonder about, things that I am confused about, things that I'm afraid of, things that I'm curious about, the way I see the world. These are things that interest me. I guess in a way, like I said a minute ago, like therapy, I guess it's a form of therapy in a way, writing this stuff. And I'm interested in some kinds of writers from the past, and I'm interested in exploring what they experienced when they were creating poetry or literature, that kind of thing. And I find that maybe it's best to say that it's a distraction from this world is what's inspiring me. This is a way to escape this world by doing what we do, our music, and the images that are accompanying that.
That was something that you mentioned earlier too, about kind of escape, keeping the world shut out, escaping the world.
What
is it about for both of you guys? What are you trying to escape, or what are you trying to shut out?
I'm trying to shut out and avoid my humanity, I think. I don't want to be like this. That's...
Yeah. Yeah. It's very hard to be in a world. Like, I don't fit in the regard of... And I hate to say conforming or something like that, but that's what everybody does. Everybody, you know, exists, and I just look at it, and I can't even relate. You know, I have no interest in it, so...
But he's misrepresenting himself in a way that... It isn't that he's saying he doesn't fit in, that he feels that he's inferior. It's
right,
not
right,
like
right,
that.
yes, trust me.
These creatures that we are were meant to be more than what we are, and that we are selling all of ourselves short by existing the way that we do. And so what we're trying to achieve musically, what we're trying to achieve personally, is to get outside of that flesh. And that's where we're headed and what we're trying to do.